You have to tailor of what works for you, you know? And for me, I try to be around people that are like-minded, with my belief, with where I want to go, and things like that. And that doesn't mean that I would not talk to someone who is not in the same like-mindedness of, yeah, I would talk to you, but you're just not gonna be part of my circle. That's it. That's just my choice. That's how I want it, you know, and it works for me. You know, because I think the thing is I have to be careful of having everybody access to me.
Welcome to the Awaken the Awesome podcast with your host, Olivier Day. This is Awaken the Awesome, a podcast bringing a down-to-earth approach to personal growth. On this show, we're helping individuals just like you learn about tapping into their incredible potential through insightful interviews and inspiring lessons. Our mission is to encourage you to always keep pushing towards achieving your dreams and to stay awesome along the way.
First of all, I want to say, like, I'm really happy that you're doing better because I've been telling the listeners that, you know, you were like close to dying with your cold, but you're still here. We're here. By the grace of God, you're still here. And see, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
but
linger and cough.
As they say, the show must go on. But how are you doing, man? How are you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Can't wait for this solar eclipse tomorrow that everybody's talking about. Man, we met some people this week that came from Arizona, Tampa. We heard there's a crew that came from Ukraine to Texas so they can see this eclipse. So let's see what happens tomorrow.
That's all they're talking about because we are dead set into the trajectory. So it's a really big deal here in Montreal. So a lot of school closures, a lot of events are happening. I, for myself, and I'm really saying for myself because I know my wife is listening to this, I am not really in any way, shape, or form of not. What's a polite way to say I don't care? It's not that I'm mean. It's not that I don't understand the wonderful, like, you know, this is a once in a lifetime thing. This will never happen again. But seriously, openly, truthfully, I am not in any way fazed by this. For me, it's just another Monday. But hey, you know, they're taking precautions and they've spoken to the schools and we've had all the notices and all the hoopla, la-di-da. My wife is probably going to look for it. We're still going to probably get some of those, like, those eclipse ready goggle thingies. But for myself, we'll be at work. The kids are going to be at school. The school is not closing on our district. So for us, it's just, we'll see. As you
Another
said, I have
Monday.
no idea. It's just, there's just another Monday. But for me personally, nah. Okay. It's just me. That's just me, man. That's just me. Wow, but we live in fun times and I can't knock it. Okay, it's, you know, for anyone who's interested in, you know, natural events, natural occurrences, I guess this is what you could call an event. And I'm not knocking anyone who's interested or going to go out of their way to actually, you know, witness this. Or I used to be in photography for a really long time, so I get it, but I don't know, call me an old grouch. That's where I am right now. I'm sorry. But don't die on me.
Funny.
As the guy said, you know, you don't have my permission to die. But hey,
Man.
I we the family and how was your Easter, man? Like we haven't we like of course we texted each other for Easter, but how was your Easter?
Easter was good. We went to this church, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, which the pastor is Tony Evans. So they had a production for Easter, so that was great. That was great. It was a nice, well thought production. And what did we do after that? You know, went to a nice restaurant, had Easter dinner. It was good. It was really good. How about you?
That's the best thing. Me, it was a busy Easter weekend. It was busy. It was a really busy weekend and I'm trying to fit it all in one memory. It's still hazy right now because it was a real gauntlet because Friday was my mother-in-law's birthday. So we left work, went to pick up the kids, and then we went to have supper at my mother-in-law's. So we stayed all night. And then Saturday, my son had soccer in the morning. And then we had to go run some errands, like a lot of errands. And in the afternoon, my son and I had an appointment at the barbershop. And then later in the afternoon, we stopped. We did some groceries, some huge groceries, because my wife also being the traditional. Oh, yeah. Busy. Because because that's the thing. We have become those people where if it's not on the calendar, it's not happening. And the calendar does run our lives. And you laugh, but seriously, if we leave our time off up to chance, and this is something I invite people to be very aware of, and you're probably going to be, you know, agree or disagree, I'd love to get your opinion. If you leave your free time up to chance, chances are someone is going to use it for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to open up. The universe is going to line up someone, somehow, some event, some circumstances to wrangle in your free time. So I sat down with my wife, late last year. I'm like, listen, woman, I'm not okay with us just like having weekends and then every single, like, oh my God, it's like, we got to go do this, we got to do that. No, let's try to plan stuff out, you know, whether, you know, she has to go do her nails, or I've got to go do my hair, I've got to take the car in for the shop, we have to go do the groceries, I have to do this. We try to fill up stuff and also make it family time. So it's a very big communication tool for the both of us. So we share a Google Cal, and there are no more surprises, and everything goes on the calendar. It's a shared calendar, and everything goes on the calendar. Whether she says, like, okay, we're having supper at my mom's, or I want to go see a movie because, listen, Kung Fu Panda 4 is happening this weekend. Bless you. Kung Fu Panda 4 is happening this weekend, so I put it on the calendar. Or Aurélie, my daughter, has her Bible study. Noah has soccer. I have a recording with Phil. Everything is on the calendar. So if we need to make something happen, or something needs to be moved, or if there's an unforeseen circumstance, or if someone calls you up and say, like, hey, you coming over? Well, sorry, I already have this thing. You know, so you can't really make an excuse, and it forces you, it gives you that wonderful sense of expectation. Like in regards to Easter, how it was fun is because going back to after the barbershop, and then we went to do groceries, and on the way home, we're like, are we gonna go home to eat? Are we stopping by having a bite? So we did that, and then on that same day, we're supposed to go see Godzilla Kong, like the new movie, which I wanted to see. So you know what? Might as well stay outside and have a family bite. So we went, you know, have some burgers and fries. And after that, we went straight to the movie theater, got a popcorn, watched it. And by the way, if you didn't know, your brother here, yours truly, is a really big monster movie fan. Like, not horror, but
so
disaster.
That Godzilla.
Disaster, mayhem, destruction, like mindless entertainment. No story. I don't care. Just give me big monkey meets lizard. I don't care. I am at that age where cartoons are making a resurgence in my life. I love Disney Plus. Like those old cartoons I used to watch when I was a kid, like DuckTales and all that stuff. That is totally me, my friend. That's totally me. And so we had a lot of fun. It was, like I said, story-wise, it was dumb. But action, explosion, disaster, and mayhem. 2 hours of fun. Like, this 42-year-old had a lot of fun. And then after the movie, went home, and then the wife and I stayed up late because, like I said, she was cooking for a Sunday dinner afterwards. Sunday, we went to Mass. After Mass, we went straight to my in-laws, and then no. What did we do after Mass? After Mass, ran a couple of errands before we went to my in-laws, and then afterwards we went to my sister-in-law's, and then we did the whole Easter supper thing. So it was busy. It was busy.
Yeah,
but with you know, it always gives you pause. And believe it or not, I'm not sure how it used to be with you in Haiti when we were growing up, but you know, Easter weekend is always 10 commandments, Ben-Hur.
Oh yeah, so. That's true too.
Oh man. Man,
I'm having a flashback right now.
Man,
wow.
I got on the stream and I started watching Ben-Hur with Noah. I swear to God, he actually sat down and watched it. I did not invite them to see
it. It is good.
It is good.
There's a new one that's out. It's on Netflix. I didn't press play on it.
I cannot bring myself to do that. I don't want my child ruined for me. So I'm going to stick with Charlton Heston. I don't care if a lot of people were blackface or whatsoever. Listen, for the movie of its time, it is a beautiful movie. It's a great movie. Yeah. It's a timeless film. And for a movie buff, I got to say that, I'm not sure if you agree that, you know, you couldn't make a movie like that today. And it's, you understand what makes a classic film, because you have to take the time to tell a story.
Yeah. Because it was like 3 hours long.
It's 3 hours long, man.
It was good.
It's an event.
It was good. It was I mean, I have nothing bad to say about it. I know a new one, not a new one. The Chosen. The Chosen is good too.
That's on Netflix?
You can find it on YouTube. The Chosen, pretty much, they have different season. I don't remember what season they're in right now. But it pretty much tells you the walk of life of Jesus Christ when he walked on earth. And it's pretty good.
I'll check it out.
They have really good actor.
But I was really proud. Really, really, I was really proud of my son. I can't say proud because, again, it wasn't my decision. I didn't invite him to do it. But it really, there was for myself, it was a really a big sense of pride to think back of those times when we were growing up and Sunday afternoons to sit down. Either you watch the Ten Commandments or Ben-Hur. Mm-hmm. And then I started watching it. I had a lot of fun. And in the middle of it, he really got into it. He's like, oh, wow. Oh, that's cool. Oh, even got to the chariot race. He was like, wow. I was like, my gosh, like, he flipped over. Is this going to die? It's like, wow. It was really cool. We didn't finish watching it because we got to the point where we had to leave to go to dinner. But it was kind of a nice dad moment to see both kids sitting down and actually be very invested and curious into a movie. You know, movies like that, movies today can't do that because they're popcorn fare. You know, they're just gone. So... But it was a lot of fun. Aside from that, man, you know, it's a nice moment to think about the gratitude that comes with every day, because you don't understand everything that's been very present for me this week. A lot of gratitude. It has not been an easy week on a lot of fronts, whether mentally, personally, marital, job. Thinking about family back home in Haiti, it's been kind of a roller coaster, but you always get centered back into gratitude, because I don't know why we keep throwing that word out there, Phil, but you know, gratitude brings you back. It brings you back down to earth.
Yeah. It keeps you humble. You have to make sure you stay humble. And nowadays, if you're not, you know what? You will pay for it somehow. You know, you'll pay for it, either family, with your kids, marriage, money, friendship. Yeah, being humble is important, because it's true when they say you here now, tomorrow is not promised.
I wanted to throw this one your way because it was one of the topics I wanted to talk about, you know, because, you know, we're just, I love the way we just walk into this and then with a lot of spontaneity. But I really wanted to throw this one your way because I've been reading a lot this week about seasons. I was talking to my sister about, you know, seasons in your life. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to identify the seasons in your life and understand that everything is about a season. And right now, I've identified the fact that I'm in a season of discomfort. There are a lot of, let's call them dissatisfactions, annoyances, frustrations I'm personally dealing with. And I understand that, you know, it didn't used to be this way. And I'm not calling it overwhelmed. I'm just calling myself very, very, very aware that it's happening. And why I was talking to my sister about, you know, seasons, because, you know, we were talking about how before kids, you know, before marriage, before mortgages, before, you know, life got to a certain point, you understand that, you know, you used to travel, you used to, you know, go out, you know, go to nice restaurants, and then you used to have a lot more time to sleep and stuff. But you understand that everything is a season, Phil. So how do we help people understand, accept, and lean into the fact that they need to understand that everything is a season? And you know what? Every season has its place. the way I lived it is the fact that I understood there was a time, you know, to be the young student. And there was a time to be, you know, engaged, and was a time to be a young professional. There was a time to grind. There was a time to have 14-hour days, and now it's time to enjoy your kids. But how do we help people understand the importance of recognizing your seasons?
Oh man, that's a nice question. It's so funny because last week I was talking to Liz about it because in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes 3, it tells us, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8, it says, "For everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast stone." And it goes on. And now you're asking this question. I mean, this is perfect. I think what it is it's having honest conversation with yourself, you know, to be able to surround yourself with people that can tell you, hey, maybe this is a season right now, you know, that, hey, you have to plant. You know, you may want this season to be where, oh, you're making X amount of money, you have this fun job or promotion and all that, but maybe it's not the time yet, you know? Because I think if you don't do what needs to be done in the season that you're in, you have to be ready for the next season. If you're not ready for the next season, you know, to have capacity to receive whatever the blessing that's coming next, you know, how are you going to do it? You know, because you want to succeed. You want to do good in whatever season you're at. But even at a time when you're in a season where you have to sow, even that, you have to make sure you do it the right thing. You have to make sure you know what you're sowing, because down the road, you want to reap the benefit of what you sow. Are you spending your time right in the sense of, are you reading? Are you taking time for your body to exercise, eat properly? Make sure you surround yourself with people where, hey, every time you talk to that person, you're learning something different. You're just feeding yourself mentally, spiritually, and all that. So I guess to answer, you know, to go back to the question, how do you know? I think you may not know. I think it's something that as you and your journey growing, you purpose yourself and knowing, you know, what season you're in, and what you may not know what to do, but hey, you purpose yourself in learning what to do.
But does that negate the fact of, does that negate our internal sense of not having accomplished? You know, what I'm trying to say is sometimes some people will hear that great advice from you and say, okay, let me just be happy, happy, joy, joy. Let me just, you know, make sure that I'm positive thinking and this is great. I'm broke, but hey, this is great. I'm in a season of broke, but let me just be happy and let me just be gracious. Let me be grateful. Does that negate the fact that we have very human feelings that we need to be at peace with? Does that mean that, okay, we're not supposed to be upset? We're not supposed to be sad? We're not supposed to be anxious? We're not supposed to be afraid? Or are we missing the point? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, to say that we're not supposed to be mad, we're not supposed to be anxious, and all that would be that we're not human. We don't have any feelings. So I to go with the example, you're saying, hey, I'm broke, you know. But you know what? If you say you're broke, but we are talking about gratitude. Hey, If you have a place to live, even though you broke that, I'm grateful that I have a place, I have a bed, I have a place that I can call home. I'm not living under the bridge because all of us, I don't care what city you live, you're gonna see poverty. You're gonna see someone living under the bridge. You walk around downtown, you see people sleeping, on the streets and all that. I don't care where you're at, it's gonna happen. But it's be able to grateful for be able to grateful you have a place. And if you're a season where you're saying you broke, maybe it's a season to learn how about investment, or hey, maybe how to manage my money better, how to spend my money better. Where should I put my money? What should I do? And all that. That's the way I see it. But even though you have that feeling of anger, frustration, and all that, all those feelings are I believe they're normal. That's what makes us human. Is I always say, don't let your feelings drive the steering wheel of your life. We know we're gonna have
That's
feelings, we
good.
know we're gonna have emotions, but I'm in control of whatever it is, because I don't want to be angry and let that anger take over me. And next thing you know, I do something and I regret it, and I'm paying for it now for a long time. It's recognizing those emotions, those feelings, they are real. And processing them, because a lot of time what we do, especially us men, instead of processing our feelings, what we do, we just bury it so deep, and down the road it explodes in our face. So sometimes you got to process, hey, I know I'm angry, I know I'm in a situation I don't like right now, however, what is it that I can learn from whatever it is that I'm facing, for me to know to do better, to be better. That's the way I see it. Because
Why is
whatever the
it?
situation you're in, it's not gonna last forever. Because it's like I always take an analogy of a storm. A storm never lasts forever.
No.
It may feel like it's gonna last forever, but there's gonna be a point where that storm gonna stop and the sun's gonna come out. So, you have to be, am I ready when the sun comes out? Like, okay. This is what I'm gonna do next. This is what I'm, and such.
It's funny how a lot of things come back to gratitude or mindset or how you choose to see a situation or how you choose to acknowledge it. I think I was having this conversation with Asian a couple of months ago, a couple of weeks ago, about the fact that sometimes we think about the college years. And I think about how I used to work when she met me. I used to work a night shift, like a really long night shift. That's how I used to pay. I was going to work full time and I was to go to school full time. And so I was like, if I was not at school all day, I was at work all night. And sometimes I used to take double shifts. So it was really heavy in those times because school was expensive. And I was paying for books, paying for rent, paying for school, paying for a lot of things. So I was really, really, really tight in money. But still, I managed to, hey, let's go to McDonald's. Let's go to Subway. Let's go to, when you go, I love the fact that restaurants are courteous enough to put their menu outside. So you show up and you're like,
I have a
okay.
budget.
So if I take this and I take this, and by the way, that's one thing that, she and I have never had to fight over because I was never ashamed to actually be transparent with her. If I couldn't, I couldn't. Sometimes she'd spot me and that's okay. So we never had that discomfort between her and I. But all this to say that when we were talking a couple of months ago, it was the fact that remember the days where we used to complain about, the student salary and because we're making so little money or we're working part time or full time. And now here we are, adult professional. You're like, wow, those youngins did not see that far, So perspective is everything. So people listening to us thinking about, oh, this is the worst day of my life. This is the worst circumstances of my life. It may be so, but add the word so far to it because until further notice, you still have one more day to go. You still have one more day where you can restart everything, reset everything, reaffirm everything, and try something different. You know?
That's true.
So it really helps, you know, to hear your words and to let them understand that, because a lot of people that listen to us are in that stage of funk. You know, they're in that limbo of, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Should I be at this level? Why is everybody farther ahead? Why do I have this feeling that I'm not where I'm supposed to be? So there's a lot of that going on. Those are real feelings, which is why I wanted to open it up, because, you know, I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers, but we have perspective. You know, we understand those feelings.
Yeah. Man, we live in a generation now of Instagram, TikTok, you know, where everybody is posting how life is so beautiful and wonderful, but, you know, which we know most of the time is a lie. So now we are living in an era where people are doing comparison. Exactly what you're saying. How come this person, this YouTuber is making, living that lifestyle, me working this 9-to-5, I can't get this lifestyle. Man, all I gotta say to that is the comparison game, it's a game. I always say you playing in the devil's playground. To me, it's a slippery slope. I don't like it. I don't care for it. Because we know that, you know, many people, you know, they portray themselves in a certain way when they get behind a camera. Mm-hmm. And their life, they have a miserable life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I may not have fortune, but yo, I have the love of family. I have the love of friends around me, genuine, true love. And above all, for me, I have good health, you know. I think with age, I'm understanding more and more what's truly important in life, and definitely having a relationship anchored in God, family, and health. You know, yes, it's good to have money because money does stuff.
Money buys good steaks, Phil. Okay. Money buys a really good steak.
It's important to have it and everything, but you know, because lately I've been having conversation with people I've met here where they are in their close to 50s or some in their 60s, and they're like, you know what,
mm-hmm.
you reach a point when you're in your deathbed, you're not asking to see how much money you have in the bank account. You know, what you want is the people that love you to surround you before you leave this world. You know, you want to talk about memories of what you had. Go ahead.
Did you hear about the quote about, I heard this on a podcast somewhere, and it says that we actually die two deaths. The first one is when we expire in our physical form. Obviously, when we expire into this one physical shell that God gave us. And the second one is when the last person, when our name is spoken for the last time.
Man, I never heard.
Is spoken for the last time. That really, really slapped me upside the head. I'm like, wow. Because see, we can say Sam Walton. We can say Steve Jobs. See? So in a sense, he's still alive within our memory, within our culture. I'm not saying we want to, you know, rise up to those kind of levels. If that's not in our cards for us, that's fine. But as you said, just to piggyback on what you were saying, in regards to your legacy, in regards to your family, in regards to your loved ones, in regards to the people you're responsible for and the people who have the privilege to actually be around you or have been connected to you in some form, way, shape, or form, near or far, what memory are you leaving? Or are you so are you such a sour taste in people's mouth that they dare not speak your name? So you die two deaths when you expire in your physical form, and when your when your name is spoken for the last time. So that was very sobering. So I thought a lot about my unborn grandchildren. I thought about so many people that you connect with or you don't connect with. What type of person, what type of impression, what type of character did you leave them with? That bears a lot of weight, you know? So when you're talking about what matters to us, I think we also need to take a lot of inventory and a lot of accountability into our character. Yeah. Because that bears a lot of weight.
That is true. Yeah, I mean, exactly what you said. It's good to always leave a positive impact, a good imprint on someone. And that is something I do my best every day, meeting someone that I just met or people that I know, is when I leave this world, is they can be like, hey, it was good to know Phil. You know, he made an impact on my life, a positive impact in my life and all that. That's how I would like, definitely, for people to remember me.
For me, on my side, it's been, I think I told you about this already, it's been something that I've had to, I'm not going to say come to terms with, but it's a shift that I'm going through right now, and I'm very aware of it, because I've been, for the longest time, such a giving, open, like here, like an avalanche of, like, you know, availability and kindness and support and everything. They're just like shower. And then call it awareness, call it coming to my senses, call it, you know, being a little bit selfish. But I had to restrain myself now. I had to reset a few things in regards to my relationships and the people around me, where I realized that, you know, in certain situations, I've been more surrounded by takers. And I don't put it on them, because when people tell you who they are, believe them. It's not even about being a hypocrite. It's not even about a hypocrite. It's about understanding, okay, people are who they are. And they happen to be someone else, they'll be that person. But in regards to the place and the role that they play in your life, understand that these people are who they are. And by the grace of God, there aren't a lot of people that I'm thinking about in that regard, but I really had to take a step back in a lot of ways. There are core friends that I still love and I'm incredibly grateful for. And there are chapters that I've had to close, because I'm not sure how you feel about it, because some people listening to us often come back to me and ask, like, how do I separate myself? How do I create that distance with these people who I've built such a relationship with over the years? But yeah, what I say, because I've learned it, it's not because they started a journey with you that means they're going to end with you. There are such things as a chapter in your life. And some people, just like underwear, just like, I know it's very visual, but some people, like underwear, no longer fit you. It's harsh, but it's true. I'm only saying it as the way that that knowledge was imparted onto me, and that's what I'm bringing to someone who needs to hear this. Sometimes, for some reason, for some people no longer fit you, and that's okay. And that doesn't make you more righteous. It also means the same is can also be, understand me here, the same is also true for you, because you may just have been an asshole to someone. Okay. Understand that you may not be compatible with someone else. So in that way, you're also doing them a service, you know, by not burdening them. And you need to be very aware of that. Where are you right now? What is your formula right now? I'm not sure how you feel about it.
Good question. I am very thoughtful of who I let in my circle of friends. Yes, I am a very outgoing guy. I talk to everybody. However, I do my very best to be selective on who I let in my circle of friends. The reason I do that is because exactly to what you're saying, we are growing, you know, each of us, there's a place that we want to go. So that doesn't mean that you know, what I'm trying to say with that is, if I see you and I, right? Yeah, we friends and all that. We have love for each other and all that. We are growing different direction. It's okay for me to acknowledge that, okay, we are going in different direction. This is your belief. I respect your belief as you respect mine and all that. That it's okay to know that, hey, we're gonna be friends, but it may not be we're not as tight as we were before. And you have to accept that and be comfortable with that. It's not saying that, you know, our friendship is over. No, I would not want that. But it's just acknowledging, you know, and sometimes you may have the conversation. It's gonna be an uncomfortable conversation, you know, but it's coming to a reality saying, hey, we are growing apart, you know, and friendship that happens because this is where you want to go in life and this is where I want to be in life. We have different goals, different a vision of what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. And it's okay, you know, it's okay because there's nothing wrong with that. But that's why I say, you know, I try to, for me, that is for me. Not gonna tell people how to do it. You have to tailor of what works for you, you know. And for me, I try to be around people that are like-minded, with my belief, with where I want to go, and things like that. And that doesn't mean that I would not talk to someone who is not in the same like-mindedness of, yeah, I will talk to you, but you just not gonna be part of my circle. That's it. That's just my choice. That's how I want it, you know, and it works for me. You know, because I think the thing is I have to be careful of having everybody access to me. You know, I can't do that. I have to limit, you know, who has full access to me.
Because you can't be there for
So
everybody.
now you can't be there for everybody. No, you cannot. You cannot. You definitely cannot. You know, and sometimes you know, I think a lot of people, you know, I know a lot of people kind of stop talking to me, or it's not like we have beef or anything. It's just, I think as you grow, you understand that, hey, we grew apart is because, hey, this is what you have going on. This is the vision that you have. Again, I know I'm kind of saying the same thing. And the person realized, like, this is the vision that I have, that, you know, it's okay that Phil and I, we're not kicking it the way we used to. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. And in a lot of ways, a lot of people fall insecure to that because they think it's something that, first of all, they have to be ashamed of, they have to apologize for, they have to be, you know, in, you know, just, you know, walking on eggshells because, you know, we used to kick it, but at the now we're just like, it's not the same vibe. No, it's called growth.
Yeah,
It's called
exactly. That's
growth.
the word. That's the
It's
word.
called growth,
Is
and that's okay. As long as you remain respectful, as long as you remain courteous, and as long as you do not speak ill will to that person, whether you speak to each other or not, whether you speak to each other or not, as long as you do not speak ill will and you only wish them the best of and brightest of great energy
Yeah.
and grace within God's world, it's
That's
the
it.
best thing you can do because that's the kind of character that you are, if that's what you want to be. And that's okay because how, and I want to make this very, very tangible for people. If you are in a season, there's that word again, where you're no longer about the club life, and say you want to be getting into, you know, start a business, or you want to get into real estate, or something as basic as, you know what, you want to settle down and get married. How can you grow into that if you don't surround yourself with married people? How can you do that if you're not going to surround yourself with business people? How are you going to do that if you don't surround yourself with real estate investors?
That's all I'm saying. You have to make sure you're with the people that are like-minded. That's it.
And that's okay. And it doesn't have to be one single rigid thing. You can create various circles. Okay, these are my real estate people. Okay, these are my gym people. These are my church people. These are my beer buddies. These are my family cookout, family barbecue, let's take care of the kids and diaper people. And this is my wife and kids. And that's okay. There are certain people who can be in all those circles. Mm-hmm. And those are the very intimate core people. And there are people who are there specifically for this. Like, if I need this part of my life, I need to water this part of my garden in my life, I need to talk to that person.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't need to talk to you about kids because you don't have kids. You don't have kids.
Yeah. We can't have that conversation. Yeah. If you cannot have that conversation,
I can't.
Yeah.
You're not going to understand.
Totally agree.
One thing that this just came inside my head, like I just felt like sharing it. One thing that that I think that we should never lose sight of is to probably, when we say surround ourselves with the right people, let's also not neglect the fact that there's a lot of wisdom to be had from someone farther along your journey. And what I mean by that is I keep going back to when I was in Haiti with my father and how important it is to have the advice and input of an elder, someone who's really, really ahead of the curve, and someone who's had a multi-million-dollar business, or someone who's raised six kids, or someone who's had two or three businesses, or someone who owns two or three buildings. You need to find that person and shut up and listen. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because ego will lead you astray. If you do not find the right people around you, ego will lead you astray.
And I want to add to that too, is you have to reach a point in life where you have to know who you are or who you see yourself you would like to become, because a lot of people are still dealing with identity issue. They don't know who they are. They're being led, influenced by social media and everything. You have to reach a point in your life, in your journey in life, and know who you are.
How do I do that, Phil? You're throwing words into the universe. I have no idea what you're talking about, Phil. How do I do that, Phil? I have no idea who I am. I don't know what I want. I'm just a guy working my 9 to 5 and paying bills and watching Netflix on the weekends. How do I know who I am? What are you talking about?
Man, that's a very good question. How do you know who you are? First, I'll use the example for me is taking time evaluating myself and having honest conversation with myself, seeing the ugly, the good, and the bad, seeing that, admitting my mistake, my mess up, and seeing also with that the positive. Okay, I can see the ugly and everything. Okay, now how can I reinforce it with the positive of which area I can do better? A journey like that is never easy, but it's finding where you can anchor and start from there. For example, for me, I anchor in family and God. So I can, with that, I see how my dad raised me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's other good men, good dads out there. Like, okay, what is it in those good men that I can go ahead and install, I can learn from, and help me see a bit better each and every day of who I am and who I would like to become? It's a process. It's not something that you can do, instantly. It's like boom, it's something that you have to work. It's something where you have to have, like I said, honest conversation with yourself. And I think many people are scared to have honest conversation with ourselves is because there's a lot of ugliness that you buried so deep that you don't want to bring back to the surface and deal with it. But, you know, I had to have those conversations with myself, you know, which helped because there's a lot of trauma from when I was growing up that it was buried so deep that I had to face those demons, and it helped me grow. So I can see like, okay, this is the man that I see that I'm becoming, or this is the man I aspire to become, you know, because you have to have an example of who you'd like to aspire to be. And it's a lengthy process, but it's a process once you can see who you are as a man or woman. You can't let anybody sway you, you know, going left and right, like today, this is who you are. The next day, this is who you are. No, if you have to see what type of person you are, if you're a person of good character, moral character and all that, what is your definition for you of moral character? Because I think society, you know, every year it's changing. You know, if you stand your ground and on something that's, you know, morally right to you, okay, you stand your ground. You don't let people, you know, with their belief and all that, you know, come and try to pursue you. And next thing you know, you change it. You see what I'm saying? Wow. So it's something that takes time. It's not instant, but it's something that you definitely need to do. Because some people, they'll probably would never do it because at the end of the day, they don't want to face the ugliness that they've suppressed for so long. They'd rather keep pressing on and like they say, keep putting more dirt under the carpet until, you know, the day it will explode in your face.
We have to be honest with ourselves because it's so easy to paint the perfect picture of the ideal when we don't realize the work involved.
Oh yeah.
I guess that's also where we fall short because why? I guess that's something we've talked about a lot, but why are we? You okay?
Yeah.
You're good. A lot of people want the end result, but not the work.
Not go to the process.
Yeah, they always want the end result, but they don't want to go through the process. A lot of times, and this is the dumbest example ever, but every single time someone tells me like, yeah, hi, I want to start a podcast. It's like, okay, are you sure about that? And I'm not even trying to be funny because I even tell them straight off the bat because technology has gotten so easy, has made it so easy now. It's not like there's a point where AI right now is like making everything so
easy. Oh, yeah.
But it does not take that. Again, I tell people, yeah, AI can speed up your process, but there still is a process you need to implement. There still is it's a tool. It's not going to do the work for you. You still have to tell AI what to do. And if you're not willing, ready and willing to do that, how is that going to happen? And that's in a lot of ways. You want the perfect kids, the well-behaved kids, but you don't want to go through the process of raising proper kids. you want the great marriage, but you fail to understand that a great marriage goes through a lot of turmoil. A great marriage goes through a lot of turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ask any billionaire. They've lost millions, despite their billions. They've lost millions of dollars
in their
process. But they're aware that there is a process. There's no getting around it. There's no speeding it up. There's no shortcutting it. You still have to go through the gauntlet. So anytime someone tells me, I want to start a podcast, like, okay, do 5 episodes talking about nothing. Just do 5 episodes. Let's not talk about gear. Let's not talk about software. Let's not talk about production. Just sit down and just record 5 episodes of whatever. Whether you want to talk about your dog, you want to talk about your summer vacation, you want to talk about, you know, this cute guy that you saw, whatever, because if you can't do it 5 times, talking about stuff that only you care about and not nobody cares. Like, nobody cares. Are you going to be able to sustain 50 episodes, 100 episodes, 200 episodes, 900 episodes? One of my favorite podcasts called The Art of Manliness is at 979 episodes. Joe Rogan is up to, like, I don't know, I think he's up to 1600 episodes. So it's crazy. There are podcasts I've been listening to for years, which are up to like episode 2300 something. It's like, if I compared myself, I would be crying. I would be crying.
Yeah, you would give up. You would throw in the white towel.
A long time ago, but I understand that there is a process. There's a process. Hey, if I had not stayed consistent, I would not have met you.
Yeah, true.
That's true. If I had not been consistent, we wouldn't have met. And I would seriously have deprived myself of a very terrific friendship. But people need to understand that they need to lean into that. But how do we... Because I did, you got a lot of perspective on this one. I'm trying to phrase this properly. Because we talked about the process, we talked about the impatience. But how do we stay humble? Like, I understand that you're supposed to have a goal, you're supposed to have a vision, you're supposed to have, you know, the knowledge of thyself. But how do we stay committed to the process? Because the process can get boring, the process can get long, the process can be painful. How do we stay committed to the process, Phil? Because you've had highs and lows.
Oh yeah. I mean, to me, I is how bad do you want it? You know, how bad do you really want it? It's knowing exactly what you said. It's knowing that you're going to have times that are low. It's knowing that there are times that are high. It's knowing that, as we were talking about earlier, it's perspective. It's perspective. It's knowing that there's a season for like you said, for everything. It's having patience, which I think us as a human race, that is something now in the society we live in, we don't have patience. We are so impatient. We want it now, you know, we don't want to wait anymore. It's like we're talking about, it's being humble. How do you become a humble person? You know, I believe being humble is a character trait. It's you either have it or you don't have it, you know. I truly, truly believe that. Or, you know, it's something you learn. How do you learn that? You go through when life slap you more than once, a couple times, you know, and you either like, okay, I don't care, I'm gonna still crash and burn, or you're like, okay, you know what? I've come to my senses. I need to be better in this area of my life. As we were saying, it's a process. It's a process. Everything you do, from raising kids, having a business, marriage, or being in a relationship, it's a process. It's a process of learning. It's a process where in that process, there's season, you know, a season of, we don't know, your season is going to look different than my season. But it's knowing what to do in that season. And if you don't find the answer, that, and I think that's what people lack, like is finding the answer, is being vulnerable. Is being vulnerable with someone that you can trust and just tell them, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe you can share some, give me some ideas, give me some tips and all that. Because what I believe in is what worked for this person, for person A, may not work for you, but hey, I can take something from person A, I can take something from talking to person B, and tailor it and see what works for me.
Nice.
That's what it is. I don't want to be, I want to be who God created me to be. I want to be Phil. I want to be, stay genuine to who I am, you know, my making, my DNA and everything, my culture of truly who I am. Because I think once you do that, it helps with the process. You know, that's what has helped me with the process, and it helps the season. Because I'll tell you, like, I'm in a season right now where I'm learning truly, you know, patient, just waiting. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Lord, I don't know how to wait. You know, I know I'm being impatient. I know that I want it now and everything, but it's having that honest conversation of, you know, but I can learn from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Of seeing how they were patient during a time where their season, you know, and be like, okay, I'm going to take from this person right here and I'm going to apply it to me and my way that's going to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to fail because I want to be able to turn around and be like, okay, I've learned and I've learned well, and let me go ahead and teach someone else, you know, that works for them. That's what it is. That's what I was saying is you have to truly know, find out and know who you are or what type of person you would like to become.
Nice.
And I think by doing so, it helps your journey in life, man.
And just so people just understand that we're not just making shit up. The thing is, see, you and I are a great example. Because I've never hit the fact that, you know, despite our mutual upbringing, in a lot of ways, your friendship has, you know, encouraged me to reconnect with my faith in a way that I was not doing in a really long time. Because the fact that you invited me on the prayer call, and the fact that we've had so many open conversations, and I've been very vulnerable with you, and the fact that, Phil, I don't read the Bible that often. I don't know that many passages. I still consider myself Christian. And again, and apologies for people that we might be turning off with all this God conversation, but you understand this is an unplugged conversation. And this is actually letting people understand that, you know, God has a very, very, you know, prominent place in our lives. So apologies. But, so we were talking about surrounding yourself with people who are aligned, you know, are more anchored into a certain way that you can learn from. I'm like, huh, coming from Phil and Phil teaching me how, okay, go to this passage or go to this chapter in the Bible, read this, or you should probably do this, or have you thought about this? Like, huh, okay, this is true. So just like you, I try to be more involved in my parish. I try to read more often than I used to. I pray a lot more openly. And guess what? My kids are sort of leaning into that as well. So when we go to church, they see we're not just showing up. This matters a lot to dad. This matters a lot to mom. This matters a lot in our family. They may still be, because they're kids, they're 11 and 8. They may still go show up at the church and just sit there and, you know, just say, they're just like, you know, do what kids do. And it's a process. I'm 42. It took me a long time to actually get to this point. But I'm surrounded with people who have an example, who have lived it, and who keep teaching me that, you know what, there's levels to this. And that's okay. And that's okay. And I think that's a lot what people don't want to accept is the fact that it's okay if you don't have it all figured out. It's okay if you don't have all the answers. It's okay if you're still learning along the way. It's okay if you're still learning it along the way. Give yourself grace.
I think what people fail to do is not keep a position of being a student, because there's a time you have to be a student, and you know you have to learn. Never stop wanting to learn. Never be complacent. However, there are some, they don't want to learn. They want to be complacent, and That's okay. That's your personal choice. That's what you want to do.
We love them all the same.
But as for me, I believe in learning. I believe in being a student. And sometimes you're gonna be the teacher when your time comes. But like you're saying, how do we do it? Is always stay hungry to learn. Always, because there's always something that you can learn. Always. I believe that. There's always something that you can learn from someone, or from reading, or from having a conversation, or listen to a podcast. Never think that, oh, you have it all together, you know it all. Nope. Because I don't. But I'm always willing to listen to someone who can share some wisdom, advice, an idea. And like I said, like for me, I like to tailor it what works for me and my family. That's what we're gonna do.
Where I want to leave you with this, because we're coming up on top of the hour and I want to respect your time. I want to leave you with this because you mentioned being in your season of impatience. I read this because it really helped me at some point. I always kept it and I like to throw it back. And the universe or God, whatever, I don't remember how it was written, but let's just say God. God will not make you patient. However, God will provide circumstances where you have no other choice but to be patient.
That is true. That is so true.
God will
Oh
not
man,
make you patient. He will not give you patience, but he will
that
provide circumstances where you have no other choice but to be patient.
is so true. Oh man.
I learned that hard. I learned that. I really learned that hard. And I realized that in a lot of ways, it can be summed up in a lot of particular events in my life where you tell yourself, well, I got this. No, you don't. Yeah. Oh, I love my wife. Do you though? Let me test that. And I do. And I do. I say this in all joke because, we're probably going to cover this in another episode, how marriage has taught us so much, and the realities or misconceptions of
Still
marriage, but
teaching us.
still teaching us because it was actually a really solid topic over the past 3 weeks on the prayer call. So definitely something I think we should address. But that really, really set me back in a lot of ways where I realized that, you know what, this is very true. Sometimes you ask for a particular state of mind, a particular gift, a particular tool that would help you endure the situation, and you realize like, nope, it's not you are gonna get the gift, but not in the way you want it to. And you realize it's realize it's up to you to make the best of it. So God will not give you patience. God will provide you with circumstances where you have no other choice but to be patient.
And
So
that's so true.
Man, leaning up into this week, I really hope that you try to mend that cold. But it is good to see you up and at 'em. So Gesine and I really are really happy that you're doing better.
Thank you, thank you,
But
thank you so
that's
much.
good. What
It's
it's, it, who was it? I think Les Brown said it. It's always good to be seen and not to be viewed.
to be seen. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, that's true.
It's always good to
That's
be seen and
true.
not to be viewed.
Because
But what can
nowadays,
I wish you
all people
into
do is.
what can
Go
I
ahead,
wish you
go
going
ahead,
into the next week?
go ahead. Man. I mean, I guess health is always a good thing, and I wish you the same thing, health, and continued wisdom, man. Continued wisdom. Because I
Trying.
think we need that. We need that because we are in challenging times, as we have those conversations, we are growing. We have challenges and family and work, with our kids, friends, whatever it is, we all face certain challenges. Is the wisdom to know how to deal with these different challenges? Because at the end of the day, I believe challenges, what it does, it helps you grow. And by you growing, you can help someone else grow, and you hope that continue, So it's definitely a wisdom to properly deal with the different challenges of life, of whatever it is.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Man, I am so full. I'm so full and fulfilled, as they say. Guys, another episode of Awaken the Awesome Unplugged with my co-host and awesome friend, Phil. Thank you so much for, you know, enduring your wonderful cold. But, you know, in all jokes aside, it's good. Again, we're going into the next week. I hope that, you know, you get better, you know, treat that cold. I will be checking in with you throughout the week, but I'm hoping that these words of wisdom have reached one or two or 1,000 people. But if you guys, as always, find any form of, you know, truth and wisdom and purpose into these words, it can be useful to you or someone you know, be sure to share the message, share the episode, you know, share the insights, share the love. It always helps. And you guys know where to find us, you know, on the Instagrams and the Apple Podcasts and the Google Podcasts and the Spotify's. So definitely, definitely, guys, this is wishing you a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week with all the blessings. And be sure to say hi, awakentheawesome@gmail.com. Phil, as always, brother, see you at the next episode. Stay blessed, guys. Stay safe, as always do. Stay awesome.
This has been another episode of the Awaken the Awesome podcast. We always love to get your feedback, so please do drop us a line via Instagram, Facebook, or email. Our email address, awakentheawesome@gmail.com. Do visit our official website at awakentheawesome.ca, where you can find our entire back catalog of episodes and incredible guests. Also, if you haven't already, please hop on over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, give us a rating, and leave us a review, as this helps us tremendously in growing this podcast and spreading the word to more awesome listeners like you. We always appreciate your support, and thank you for listening. Stay awesome.